By the way, you say, oh, what's so hard about that? Well, try it sometime, and you'll find out. I want to remind everybody, we have a gift for everybody, and that's a calendar and a card. If you didn't get yours this morning, make sure you get it tonight. We have them on the back table, and maybe you could make your way back there and just kind of find yours. Your name's right on it, and just kind of find yours and get it. We want you to have that. And we try to get them out to you as much as possible, but maybe we didn't get yours to you. We do have one for you. And so I looked through the pile. I couldn't find mine. Well, let us know. You know, we're not infallible, and we'll make sure you get one. You know, we're here tonight, and we're celebrating Christmas, and our young people have recited for us the Christmas story once again from Luke chapter 2. And I'm just going to read the first seven verses there. And it came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Father, bless this time we're going to spend in your word and speak to our hearts once again. As we talk about this event over 2,000 years ago, that changed the world. We know there have been many events in the world that changed the direction of things, but Lord, there's never been anything other than the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that made such a difference in our world. And we're very thankful. And now tonight, as we think about that and see that, speak to our hearts about this Christmas season. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight, we've seen the program. We've seen once again in the scriptures the narration of the events of that night in Bethlehem and what took place. And these were events like no other events that had or would ever occur. On that night, God had become flesh to dwell among men. I'm going to preach for just a little while tonight, but I'm not going to preach really about the events of that night, though they were wonderful and miraculous. And I don't want to preach on the ramifications of the events that night, though they are important. Tonight I just simply want to focus for a little while on the reason for the events that night. I want to focus for a little while on the love of God, because that is the reason for what took place there. God's love. And I want to first take note of the fact that the love that brought Jesus that night was a love that was initiated by God Himself. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." You see, the love that sent Jesus to that stable in that manger in Bethlehem that night was a love that was initiated, instigated solely, completely by God Himself. You see, it was God who made the decision He would love us. Way back before the very foundation of the world, God made that decision, that though man was going to sin against Him, He would love man regardless of that. God's love for the world and mankind was a decision He made unilaterally. And the fact is, we can't understand why God made that decision. But we do know the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. It was His decision to love us. And His love shown to us was apart from any merit on our part. He loves us not because of anything we are, anything we do or can do. He loves us simply because He made a decision to love us. We're sinners. We sin against God, but yet he loves us. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in Ephesians, Paul says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, his love was bestowed upon us, even though we deny him or against him. Some of us may have even blasphemed him at times. But you know, his love transcends. His love goes beyond our deeds. I couldn't help but think about the Apostle Paul. And he's the one that wrote those words in Ephesians and those words in Romans, God using him. But here's a man who persecuted the church. Here's a man who had Christians killed. He was ascending to their death. Here's a man who the focus of his life was to destroy Christians. And God loved him and God saved him. We celebrate God's love. Secondly, because God's love was demonstrated that night in Bethlehem. You see, it's easy to talk about love. It's easy to say, I love you. But as I've said so many times, talk is cheap. People can say anything. But see, the talk needs to be backed up by actions. And God not only declared his love, God demonstrated his love. You see, God loved us so much, he sent his son to die for us. In Galatians 4, it says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Jesus is God's gift to the world. And that gift demonstrates his love. See, when Jesus came, he condescended to come. He stepped down from the realms of glory to this sin-sick world. He came to live among sinners on this earth. He came to sacrifice himself. He traded a crown and a scepter for a manger of swaddling clothes. And then we see the service. The king now becomes the servant. And he did all that for us. Now, Jesus' coming illustrated God's love. I like to say the incarnation of Christ was God's love with shoes on. More than just words. And he shows the world how much he loves each one of us by sending his only begotten son to be our Savior. So we see God's love talk about God's love here. It's initiated by God. And not only initiated, demonstrated. But notice his love was designated. By that I mean, just who did he love? You know, there's a theology today, and unfortunately it's come into our fundamental Baptist churches, and we call it hyper-Calvinism. But see, what that theology teaches is that God only loves certain people. That God only elected certain people to go to heaven. Everybody else wanted to die and go to hell. I don't believe that for a minute. The Bible says God so loved the world, and when Jesus came, he came to be the sacrifice for all men everywhere. Listen, God loves every person in this world. The most vile and wicked sinner, God loves. That's hard for us to understand. But see, the fact is, the most vile and wicked sinner is a sinner just like we're sinners. And God loves sinners, regardless of how vile and wicked they are. By the way, God loves the moral sinner as well. So what do you mean by that? You know, there's some people who are very moral people, good people, but they don't realize they need Jesus Christ. But see, God sent his son to die for all of us because all of us need Jesus Christ. And so this love was designated. That's what John 3:16 is all about when the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Who did Jesus come for? The world. Every person in the world. And you know, you can put your name in there. That night when Jesus left heaven and came to Bethlehem and took on the body of a man, he was coming so he could live that sinless life and die on that cross for you and for me. And I'm very thankful for it. His love is bestowed upon all men. God's love is a gift to all men. And then finally, this love that God demonstrated that night, this love that God initiated, this love that God showed to be to all men is effectual to anybody who received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus came and He died on that cross. He came and took on the body of a man. He suffered all that He suffered here. He let Him nail Him, put nails in His hands, nails in His feet. He did all that for us. But you know, all of that is for naught if a person doesn't accept Christ. Now, I don't mean it wasn't effective, but what I'm saying is, Jesus did that so we could be saved. But you have to come to Him. You have to receive Him. It's available to every one of us. But see, we have to make that decision that I want Jesus as my Savior. I want Him to come into my heart. I want Him to save me. This morning, we had two people here come forward, and people took them and showed them how Jesus would save them if they'd invite Him to come into their heart, into their life. And they made that decision. That's a wonderful thing. By the way, don't ever get over that. Don't ever get over that there's still people getting saved in our church. Listen, there's a lot of churches where nobody ever gets saved. Really? Yeah. You know, I don't know if you've heard Pastor Fedena mention, when he came to Faith Baptist Church way back in 1972, I think it was, when he came there to be the pastor, no one had walked the aisle to make a decision in a service for 7 years. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really want to go to a church like that where nobody's making decisions and nobody's coming to the altar and nobody's getting saved. I like the fact our church is a getting saved place. That's how it should be. But you see, it's effectual. It's available to every person. But how many will accept Him? Children mentioned the fact, two words, no room. You know, that's where most of our society is today. They have no room for Jesus. Our government has no room for Him. Our schools, our communities, they don't want to hear about Jesus. And it's a sad commentary that we've come to that place. But it's no different than when Jesus came. I often wonder if God didn't include that little note so that we could still be encouraged. And even though when He came there was no room for Him, He still came. And even though there's no room for Him in many people's hearts and lives today, there still are some who will receive Him. And our job is just to tell people the good news. I like that announcement to the shepherds, don't you? Did you ever wish you could have been there that night? Huh? Just to be out there on the hillside. Now, I don't know if I would have liked being out there in the dark. Right, James? We don't like the dark, do we? But, you know, they were out there in the dark tending their sheep just like every other night. You know, they punched the time clock. Time to go to work. Got to go tend the sheep. But something happened that night. All of a sudden, bright light. I mean, it lit up the night sky like even brighter than daylight. And all of a sudden, there's this angel talking to them. You say, yeah, I would like to be there. I don't know. It would have been nice, but I can just see my knees knocking. You know, whoa, what's going on here? But then the message came. And it calmed their hearts. Fear not, we bring you great tidings of joy. The Savior is born. And they told him where he could find him. And I like the response of the shepherds. They heard the message and they responded to it. And they went to see him. Boy, what a sight that must have been. To come on that stable that night. And here's Mary and Joseph and this baby in a manger. And this special one that the angel said, he's come. And you know, they understood that they've been looking for the Messiah for ages. And now the angels, the very angels of heaven, have come and told them, he's here. And they came and saw him with their own eyes. Well, wouldn't that have been something? Now, we can't see him physically today, but we can know him. We can have a personal relationship with him. And we have that by receiving him into our heart and into our life. Now, I know I'm speaking to folks primarily to profess to be saved. But I would encourage you tonight, make sure that you know him personally. See, I, for a lot of years, knew him here, but I didn't know him here. And you know, after I came to know Christ as my Savior and knew him here, I knew the difference. I could see the difference. You know, when you're knowing him here and you're not knowing him here, you really don't see it. But boy, when you get saved, you know. I'm thankful that he makes such a big difference in our hearts and in our lives. Listen, tonight we're celebrating that God loves us unconditionally. And that God loved us so much, he sent his Son to make a way for us to go to heaven. That's what this celebration is all about. You know, for the world, it's presents, you know, parades and all kinds of revelry and you know, just a good excuse to have a party and drink a lot of liquor. For us, it's a whole different thing. Now, it's okay to, you know, have some celebration. It's not okay to drink the liquor. But it's okay to have the celebration because we're celebrating that he came. But let's not lose the reason we're celebrating. The love of God. Sometimes it's hard for me to get beyond that, comprehend that, get kind of beside myself thinking about that. That the God who created everything around me, the God I read about in the Bible and did all those miracles, that he could love me. I'm one of 7 billion people in this world. He could love me. And you know, you're one of 7 billion people in this world. And he could love you. Don't ever get over that. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for the love that caused all that happened there on that night. You loved man before he ever sinned because you chose to. There's nothing in us that would make us lovable. There's nothing in us that would merit, deserve in any way for you to love us, and yet you chose to. And that love caused you to send your only begotten Son, caused him to live a sinless life here on this earth among sinners, caused him to go to that cross and shed his blood and be buried and resurrected, all for us, so that we might have opportunity to be saved. Thank you for it. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed,